Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. What's going on? Welcome to the show. I think I'll take that Decca Yeah, that return to work Decca Yeah. Good to be back. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I had 2 weeks off. I am back. It's great to be here. I'm live. I'm in our Southern California-based studios. All is well. What's cracking? Hour number two starts off with an open segment. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. National NBA writer for the Washington Post, Ben Golliver, joins me next segment. Ben has been living inside of the NBA bubble at the Disney Complex in Florida, and we'll get his thoughts on what that's like. Top of hour number three, Dustin Poirier, one of the best UFC, class act, former UFC lightweight champion, joins me in the third hour. Our phone lines are open. What would you like to talk about? We spent a good part of hour number one talking about the NFL and where they are right now with rookies supposed to report today to Kansas City and Houston. They've got that first Thursday night game. And yet there's so many unanswered questions. And I mentioned I understand where the players are with that. I understand why they might be concerned. They want to know that it's a safe working environment before they show up to work. Some quick reaction to some of the things I said about my time in Wisconsin. I did spend 2 weeks in Wisconsin, the entire trip in Eagle River, Wisconsin. SA Sports Honk tweets, Jim, no luck fishing. Maybe you were using the wrong bait. Might I suggest a laptop and a cell phone without FaceTime? Sincerely, Lene Kakua.
Hey, babe, I'm just calling to say goodnight. I love you. I know that you're probably doing homework or you're with the boys or grubbing me. What a fatty. But I just want to say I love you and good night. And I'll be okay tonight. I'll do my best. So get your rest and I will talk to you tomorrow. I love you so much, and sweet dreams.
The only thing that makes that tweet even better, and that's a really good tweet. That's a really good tweet. No luck fishing. Somebody, Eric, in fact, said, what did you catch? Or did you catch anything? I said, no, we had no luck. And this guy writes, no luck fishing. Maybe you're using the wrong bait. Might I suggest a laptop and a cell phone without FaceTime? Signed, Lene Kakua. You know, hashtag catfish. The funny thing about that, too, is the lake that we're on is Catfish Lake. Luckily, I did not drop my phone in this time. Not once. Hey, Rome, I think that the NFL made a great judgment call in waiting this long to try to hammer this stuff out with the season right around the corner. Signed, waiting to the day of on Valentine's Day to try to book a reservation, only to have your girl furious, and you have to settle on your 15th choice. Wass in Scottsdale. It's a bad look. That's a bad play also. All right, so I'm waiting on a phone. Or I'm waiting for the right phone call, 1-800-636-8686. Let me change up, give you another topic. The Memorial Golf Tournament at Jack's Place this week, aptly named because it had everything and the kitchen sink. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let me start right at the top of the leaderboard and at the top of the world golf rankings. Because as of yesterday, John Rahm is the new champion of Dublin, Ohio, and the number one stick on the entire planet. 9 under for the week, 500 FedEx Cup points for the effort, 1.7 mil for the finish, and a number one world ranking for a body of work that continues to trend towards greatness. And how the hell was your Sunday? If you turned on the broadcast at all, you saw a 25-year-old Spaniard chewing up and spitting out a track that had stonewalled just about everybody else in that field. 74 dudes made the cut. Only 9 finished better than even par. And at one point, heading for the turn, Rombo was lapping second place by a half a dozen shots. In other words, this one was over before the old cliche says a golf tournament starts, namely the back nine on Sunday. I'm sure Rahm had to give a few back coming into the house, but Muirfield was playing tougher than it ever has in its four-decade history of hosting that tournament. And as John Rahm mastered it, highlighted by 3 rounds in the 60s, he also had one of the choicest flop shots ever hit. Ever when he chipped in for bird on 16 yesterday.
You couldn't land that any better.
What a shot.
Just like 2012.
You called it, Frank.
At that time, that went down as a two on his card. But then a replay showed that his ball had moved a dimple prior to him hitting it. He had no idea until he walked off 18 as the winner by five shots. Now, here was his reaction to hearing that the best bird of his life was actually a bogey.
The possibility of your ball moving before when you were addressing it on 16.
Huh?
You look surprised. Is that something that you saw or felt?
Not at all. I did not see or feel anything. No, it is what it is. If we deem it's a penalty stroke, it is a penalty stroke. Still doesn't take anything from the shot, honestly. Had I seen it, I would have said so. I just never did.
So that's how you handle that. Like a pro and a decent human being. I mean, granted, it does help that the penalty did not rip a dub away from him. Maybe then the reaction might have been different. Maybe then, but yeah, it only reduced the winning margin from 5-3, but he earned that cushion after blitzing the entire field for 72 holes straight. Don't forget that. I mean, like Patrick Reed would threaten to sue you if you accuse him of messing with his ball. John Rahm just owns it and he moves on. And now he is the best player in the world. And only the second Spaniard to ever achieve that. The first, of course, is hero and fellow countryman, Seve Ballesteros, back in 86. And to me, this ranks right up there with my man learning to speak English from Kendrick Lamar and Eminem, which he told me he did back in January of 2019 on this show.
Did Eminem and Kendrick Lamar actually help you with the language? Is that true?
What I learned, besides enjoying the music, what I learned by memorizing the lyrics was how to pronounce and enunciate in a faster pace. It was basically like an exercise. I got it dialed in, so it just helped me carry on conversations in a faster pace.
It's so good still to me. Even though the memorial was a one-man show, and it was, there were still some A-list characters who were working as the opening acts. All right, so let's talk about some of the others, starting with Eldrick Woods, who rolled out to Ohio for his first, quote, competitive tourney since finishing DFL at Riv back in February. And you know he wanted to get that taste out of his mouth. You know he didn't want that as the lasting image, but he did nothing to change that. If you were looking for any kind of clear answers on what this dude's got right now, you actually got none. Cats T40. Was about as uninspired as any four rounds of golf could possibly be. My man looked wooden. He looked laconic. He looked rusty. He looked stiff. And then at times he did flash some of that vintage magic, but just flashed it quickly. All that hype that he might somehow rip the event for a sixth time quickly turned into a sweat-out situation when he barely survived the cut after Friday's 76. Only two events now remain on the schedule between now and the season's first major at Harding Park. And if this week in Ohio is any indication of how he's going to show up at the PGA Championship, then number 83 and number 16 are going to be just like this dude's lower back on ice for a while. Could be worse, though. The cat could have been the artist formerly known as Hefty. Because Phil Mickelson's out there just straight clowning. Early in yesterday's round, Phil brought a Yeti coffee mug to the green and placed it right behind him to perfectly display his trademarked logo, Coffee for Wellness.
Special coffee blend for wellness.
I mean, that was the most shameless shill since the same guy started dancing around in long-sleeve dress shirts that he tried to pass off as golf apparel. But that's pretty much who this guy is now, right? Just a middle-aged dude with a declining game who brings branded coffee mugs to the green for product placement. But that wasn't even his most circus act of the day. Because 9 holes later, the dude attempted a putt from 78 yards away in the fairway. Not 78 feet, 78 yards. You know, a lob wedge, 100 times out of 100. Phil, though, for some reason, decided to putt. You know, why did he do it? Same reason anybody can or does, because they can, I guess. Either that, or because he was 8 over at the time and playing for nothing other than attention. for trying to get you to look at him and look away from how badly he was playing. Here's how that went.
According to Guinness Book of World Records, 135 yards. This only 78 yards.
I saw that playing out differently in my mind.
You saw that playing out differently in your mind. This guy, 234 feet to cover with his flat stick, and it went about 180. And then his reaction was, you know, I saw that going differently in my mind.
I saw that playing out differently in my mind.
Really, Phil? Because none of us did. Sebastian Janikowski, lining up for a 76-yard field goal, cannot believe what you just attempted.
Wait a minute, he's bringing Janikowski out.
But at least that dude was ordered out there by his coach. You're just making these executive, jackass decisions on your own. Just trying to get people to look at you and talk about you because your game no longer does the talking for you. Now the golf world loves to call this whack act. That's just Phil being Phil. Isn't that hilarious? This just Phil being Phil. Yeah, that's not the way I see it. That's what you call it. I call it Phil being a jackwagon. So I guess it is then just Phil being Phil. The difference is they're all laughing with Phil. I'd say I'm laughing at Phil, but like most of his jokes, it's just not funny. Then you had Bryson DeChambeau, who I said would win before I left for Wisco, and then he did in Detroit. The second I jumped on my bird. But that was then, and this is now, and this week was as bad for BDC as 2 weeks ago were great. Because Bryson carded a 10 on Friday and had a mini meltdown when a ruling did not go his way after he fired a fairway wood OB on 15. At that time, Bryson already hit his drive into the drink, dropped, and then nuked two missiles over a fence. So this guy was pissed. And we know he can run pretty hot. He found one of his rocks up against the fence, and he asked a rules official if he could play it. Here's how that exchange went.
Can I hop the fence and hit it from the other side? It's touching the line.
The boundary is...
No. It's touching the line.
The boundary is the inside edge of this fence post.
Dude, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
So you're saying that even though... Oh, so if you had a white post right here, even if it was on the back edge of the post, so you're saying that I don't believe it. Can I get a second ruling, please?
Asking for a second opinion? That's pretty rich. That takes some stones. Normally you do that with, I don't know, a doctor, but not a rules official. You don't like what that rules official is telling you? Hey, let me talk to somebody else. I mean, wouldn't that be great? Then every shot that's called out would be in. Every ball that's called a strike would be a ball. Yeah, I don't really care what you have to say. Get me another one.
Can I get a second ruling, please?
Yeah, no, not when you're lying 7 and have been playing a hole for 26 minutes, but he did. And off camera, he was also heard saying, quote, they're giving me a garbage ruling like usual. I can't let everything get effed. End quote. Too late. Everything was effed. Hit one in the drink and two over the fence. And I've got news for you. Everything is already effed. And he missed the cut because of it. And he took another ding on his rap for slow play and a bad attitude. You know, two things that he's been accused of in the past. Two things that, frankly, and I, you know, this is this guy and I like this guy. He didn't give a damn about that stuff. But hey, don't sleep on me calling my shot about him winning and then him coming through 4 days later. And then you got my guy, Brooks Koepka, the new meme lord. After he pulled out his tin of Kodiak and plugged a horse show lipper for the world to see. Talk about not giving a damn. And I love this guy for it. Not one damn. Right in the middle of the fairway, tin out, chaw activated, and not giving a damn. And now, you've got one of the best sports photos making the rounds of BK slamming in the Mississippi coleslaw. Remember, before he flaunted the Kodiak for everybody to see this weekend, I asked him straight up on my podcast 2 months back, what's in the tin? Because at that time, we all wanted to know, but nobody did know, and he finally gave it up.
I got Kodiak. I'm a Kodiak guy. Yeah, everybody always thinks it's Copenhagen because it's green, but Kodiak's the go-to. It's hard not to. You're out there for 4 hours, and you're just chilling, and everybody always gives you crap for spitting, but I'm like, dude, it's better than watching me throw up.
I love this guy so much. I don't play favorites, but Brooks Koepka is one of my favorites. So good to see the Kodiak Bear make an appearance at the Golden Bears track. I mean, what a damn eventful memorial. Well done, everybody. Except Phil. And I guess the cat. But it's not really necessarily the cat's fault if his glutes don't activate. And he's got a bad back.
Just my glutes.
Mostly, though, great job by everybody except Phil. But I guess somebody's got to play the clown.
I saw that point out differently.
Maybe Tony's got one. That one did. And it was Phil. But he usually is. When we come back, we'll talk NBA bubble. Ben Golver is living inside of it. He'll let us know what that's like. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, couch surfers. We've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow, and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? Meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps you if you need to fix them. Eno, another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What's in your wallet? Limitations do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Great to be back. UFC legend Dustin Poirier, top of the hour. One of the reasons I'm so happy to be back is I've been looking forward to this conversation. If you're on hold, stay there. Right now, we are joined by a national NBA writer for The Washington Post, host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast, good friend of the program. I mean, no matter what, we always have Ben Golver on, but he wrote a great, great piece for the Post that I read when I was on vacation, and I couldn't wait to bring him back to talk about it. Ben, good to have you on the show once again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. It's always great to hear your voice, but especially these days. They had me locked inside a hotel room for 7 days, you know, testing me for the coronavirus when I first got down here to the bubble. Not a lot of human contact, so it's great to talk to you.
All right, great to talk to you, Ben. In fact, let's start right there because you're always a very active guy. In fact, during the pandemic, you were walking 8 miles a day, but as you just pointed out, part of your arrival included a seven-day in-room hotel quarantine. Man, what in the world was that like, and what was a typical day like in the in-room quarantine?
Well, it's been busy because we're trying to keep up with, like, which players are here, which players aren't here, who tested positive, who didn't, you know, just trying to adjust down here. But the bottom line is there's a lot of time to kill when you've got, you know, 24 hours a day stuck inside. The only time they let me out, Jim, was to pick up the food off my front porch that they dropped off for me or to stand outside and get my coronavirus test for about 30 seconds every day. Otherwise, I was inside. I didn't have a window. I have a window, but it doesn't open. I couldn't really open my door. I didn't have a patio. So I found myself just killing a lot of time by walking back and forth, trying to get my steps for the Apple Watch or the Fitbit going. I think my record on the very last day when I was really starting to lose it, I walked 9 miles inside my hotel room. I'm not proud of it, Jim. You know, it's one of those things that they're probably going to have to put on my gravestone at some point way down the road. But that's what I had to work with.
Dude, that is incredible. I'm sure the guy living below you was proud of that. I mean, the way you lay that out, Ben.
I was going to say, a couple of people did ask to change hotel rooms, after we got out of the quarantine. Hopefully it wasn't my fault, but if so, I apologize.
Ben, I was going to say, the thing that's amazing, it's like being in prison and you get that 1 hour a day to walk out in the yard. Your only release was the 30 seconds for the test. So when you finally were released after a week, how good did it feel to get out?
It felt amazing. You know, when they were doing the testing during that week, though, I'd be like, guys, slow this down. Go ahead. Stick that Q-tip up my nose for a little bit longer.
Farther.
We don't need to rush this thing.
Like, let's
get a little bit more time out here. But, the release feeling on Sunday was absolutely amazing. It's a really pretty, beautiful campus. It was kind of tempting me out the window. You know, there's this nice lake. There's a fountain. It's been like 90 degrees and sunny basically every single day. So that kind of made the quarantine even tougher. But getting out, feeling the sunshine, getting down by the pool was nice. The one thing, though, is it turns out they've kind of created a little bit of a pen or like a bullpen for the media here. So the players get access to the lake. They get access to fishing. They get the bikes. They get the golf courses. The media doesn't really get any of that. We're sort of in our own little quadrant. It's actually about 0.2 miles long. So you think it's not even a full lap around a track. It's really not that big. So it's been an adjustment period, even just getting out of the hotel room, realizing that for the next 3 months, Jim, 94 nights, I'm going to be staying on this little campus. It kind of feels like a college quad.
Ben Galver joining us. Ben, I go back to that story you just told. That's amazing. You were like, hey, can't you get that Q-tip a little closer to my brain? Why are you rushing through this horrible procedure? I don't want to go back to my room. All right, so what about the food, Ben? How is the food, Ben?
Well, I'm okay with the food, honestly. Like, they bring it, you know, big portions basically every single day. Now we got this grab-and-go setup. The food is basically designed to be as plain as possible and to appeal to as many people as possible. So I understand, like, if you're living, you know, that Ritz-Carlton lifestyle or, like, Four Seasons lifestyle like the players, it's probably, you know, a little bit of an adjustment period. But, you know, for me, it's not been a huge problem. The one thing I would say is that, you know, during quarantine, they were bringing me so much junk food. I was, like, really trying hard to resist it. So I made a little bag in my corner. So I have, like, 15 bags of Doritos and all these brownies and stuff to try to, like, you know, keep myself on track. It's almost like the motivation to not eat bad by just looking at this, like, you know, statue of junk food in my corner.
Dude, I like the mind games you're playing with yourself, Ben. You got to come up with stuff like that to get through it, I would imagine. Now, you're also living in the type house, as it has been glossed. Who is in the type house, and how would you describe the mood right there now?
Well, I felt really proud of coming up with the name, the Type House, for all the writers, because they only took about 10 independent media members, writers, to cover this thing. It was a real, you know, difficult application process. We didn't find out until 1 week before we had to come down here, so it was a real scramble. You've got writers from the New York Times, Associated Press, USA Today, The Athletic, a few others that I'm sure I'm forgetting. You know, to me, it's funny because, like, the hype house on TikTok, it's all these teenagers who get together and, like, film videos of each other and are trying to be goofy. We're, like, the oldest, lamest possible version of that. You know, it's a bunch of guys who are just, like, hoping to get into some empty gyms to watch basketball games. But we're all crammed together here. It looks a little bit like a motel. It's actually, you know, a property where usually a lot of families would come down and stay here. So, like, my room, for example, it's got two double beds. It's kind of like, you know, for a family of four, if you're coming down to Disney for you know, a long weekend or something. So we're all in close quarters for sure. They've got these little alarms though that start beeping like smoke detectors if you spend too much time close to somebody. So, you know, like when Zion comes back, for example, you know, if I'm trying to get too close to get a photo, my name tag is going to start blaring and saying, all right, you got to step back. You're breaking the rules.
Ben Galver, my guest, I'm going to ask you about Zion, follow up on that in 1 minute, but one more thought. Since you've been living through it, has it changed your feelings about the tip line? For instance, are you a bigger fan of the tip line now that you know that anybody breaking the bubble is putting everybody else at risk and jeopardizing the efforts of everybody who is following the rules?
Well, here's what I would say about the safety side. I actually feel more comfortable here than I thought I would because we do get tested every single day. And, like, you look around the world, how many people have access to daily testing? It's such a privilege. It's such a luxury. Obviously, we're paying for it as media members. It's like part of the money that we had to spend to come here. But I actually thought being on campus with a lot of other people, even if they wore masks, I thought I would be kind of uncomfortable just because I've been staying so safe at home in Los Angeles before I got here. But that testing part really helps with the mental side. In terms of the tip line, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be calling the line. And I do have the number, by the way, Jim. I'm not sure I'm going to be calling that line if I see Dwight Howard not wearing a mask, for example. But if there's some sort of like a party bus with like 40 guys coming in with techno music playing from downtown Orlando, I feel like I might actually have to call that line at some point. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. You know what I mean?
Hey, Ben, yeah, I do know what you mean. And knowing how responsible the clones are, why don't you just share that number with me so I can give it to them? Just kidding.
Well, I was actually thinking last Thursday, I was like, maybe I should let Jim know that I need care packages from the clones. Like, it's getting so dark in this quarantine period. God knows what they would have sent me. That'd probably be the worst thing I could possibly do. But I was getting desperate there about halfway through.
Let me know, Ben. I'm here for you. And I know they are, too. Ben Galver is my guest. You mentioned Zion. Now, Zion was expected to be the star of the seeding games. The team did announce on Thursday that he left the bubble for an urgent medical family matter. What do you make of that news, and what will his status be?
Well, here's the big takeaway from this. We have very little transparency on situations like this, in part because, like, if it's anything to do with the coronavirus, the NBA and the teams will not announce if a player tests positive or negative, so that the player has to make that announcement itself. And also, we don't have access to the player's hotel or even to these teams, like, with great regularity, at least not yet. Now, we just got into practice for the first time today, so that could change here going forward. But it's very hard to track down any kind of information about a situation like Zion because the access is so tight, it's so limited. They've really just created a bubble within the bubble to keep the players safe from the media. So that makes our jobs more difficult. You know, we're still waiting to get an update on what's going on with Zion or his family members. Or we just don't know. What we do know, though, is if he wants to come back in and be available for opening night, the clock is ticking. If he's able to get testing when he's off campus, then he still has to go through a 4-day quarantine period once he comes back. If for whatever reason he can't get testing when he's off campus, he has to go through a 10-day quarantine once he comes back. So you can start to do the dates here and realize, like, he basically has until July 26th to come back as long as he's still getting tested and still be available for opening night. I can tell you this. I mean, you think about how much time and effort and money went into planning this thing. If they don't have Zion on opening night for, you know, as expected, it's going to be such a big blow for the NBA.
No doubt. That was the big thing. The big thing about the seeding games to get him back there. Hey, Ben, quickly before I let you go, what about a thought or two about the LA Lakers? For instance, LeBron James met with the media earlier today. How would you describe his mood and his overall approach to life in the bubble?
Well, one thing after not really hearing a lot from LeBron for the last 4 months, I just stress everybody, don't take this guy for granted. Like, he realizes when there's a stage, and he always steps up and delivers. I mean, today he was talking about Representative John Lewis. He was talking about how the thing that he missed the most during quarantine was his mother, because it was the first time in his entire life he'd been separated from her for, as many months as it was. I mean, he was really, you know, kind of bringing a lot of honesty and, a lot of thoughtful takes. Everybody is still adjusting. I thought one of his big takeaway quotes was like, look, this is 2020. Nothing is normal about this. You pretty much just have to reset every single day and have a positive mindset. And I think those are the types of teams that are going to succeed if they're down here at Disney World. If you're coming down here and thinking, man, what a drag. The food sucks. My hotel is not as good as I want it to be. And you have that kind of mentality, you're going home early. You know, you're just not going to be able to withstand the kind of challenges that are going to come up during these playoffs. If you're kind of, come down here and you're down for whatever, you're ready for the challenge, you're ready to adapt and try to adjust on the fly. It doesn't matter if there's fans in the stands or not. You're just kind of ready to play basketball. I think those are the teams that are really going to be successful. And in general, the Lakers seem like they're in a good place. And obviously that's going to follow from LeBron. But he seemed very comfortable to my eye, and I think that's a good sign for Lakers fans.
I think that's such a great point. So finally, Ben, as a follow, if you had to guess, and probably we'll see a little bit of everything, but if you had to guess, is this, because it's so unusual and the circumstances are not ideal in any sense, is it going to bring out the best in most people, or might some people be looking to go home a little bit earlier because it just frankly sucks?
Yeah, I mean, one of my pet theories is that if you get down 2-0 in a series, you're rolling over. That's kind of like what I think is going to happen. You know, usually if you're down 2-0 against a better team, you get game 3 back at home if you're the underdog, and now you have a crowd to kind of cheer you on, and maybe you extend the series that way. I kind of think if you're down 2-0 to the Lakers, you start thinking like, wow, you know, the comforts of my own home, you know, my wife, my kids, you know, I could be home in a week if we wind up, you know, losing this series. It's not like you tank, but just psychologically, maybe you let go of the rope a little bit. So that's one thing I'm going to be looking for, especially in those early playoff games where you do have like a real disparity in talent between the teams. Like, do we start to see really quick series down here just because there's no home court advantage and because there's so much temptation to go home?
Well, there you go. That's why I was looking forward to that conversation. A fascinating look about what's going on inside the bubble from a guy who's right there, a national NBA writer for The Washington Post, host of the Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast, and as you know, a very good friend of the program. Ben, appreciate you. Great to hear your voice. Hang in there, and I know we'll do it again soon.
That sounds great, Jim. Take care, man.
Take care, Ben. Good job. Really well done, Ben, as always. All right, so we'll break. When we come back, your thoughts, your reaction. If you want to go somewhere different with it, go ahead. You got an opportunity finally. Top of the hour, Dustin Poirier. Somebody I've got a lot of respect for. He is joining me at the top of hour number 3. I still want to share my thoughts on my vacation in Wisconsin. I've got more thoughts on Dak Prescott. And plenty of time for you to get through. First up, though, here is a bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So what? You don't have time to wax your car. All right. 303 Touchless Sealant is a quick and easy solution. You simply spray on and then you rinse off. It is that easy. Get the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Available at O'Reilly AutoZone and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more information. All right, it's good to be back. Halfway through it. Good time. Wake up, Hawk. Come on, man. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Wake up. Hit me up on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. Hit up my Instagram page if you don't mind, also at Jim Rome. Email me to Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Dustin Poirier coming up at the top of the hour. We already had Ben Golliver on Life Inside the NBA Bubble. We had Charles Robinson talk about what's going on between the Players Association and the league and whether or not a deal is going to get done. Is the season going to start on time? Will there be a shortened season? Might there be no season at all? Mark Davis laid out those three scenarios. But he's an owner. It was different because he's an owner saying those things. In the meantime, I did take 2 weeks off, and I shared some thoughts. I'm going to share some more thoughts right now. You should jump up in here if you want to react. Or basically, if you want to do anything at all. You know, we had the smack-off. We had the amazing run-up to the smack-off. The event was great. I took a couple of weeks off, so now you got to kind of reset yourself. What do you want to do with that phone line? Do you want to talk about life as it is right now? Because it is hard. And it got harder again over the last 2 weeks. Do you want to try and take your shot and qualify for the smack-off next year? Because no matter what's going on in the world, there will be a smack-off next year. I will be here for it. We're going to run it back. What do you want to do? Just make sure you get on the phone, you get through Hawk, you get on hold, you get to me. So if you're joining us late, since we're at that halfway point, let me reset something quickly. I did hit the proverbial basement for 2 weeks. I go down there a couple of weeks a year, or a couple of weeks at a time, to try to charge the battery, to try to reset myself, to rejuvenate, to make sure that I'm focused and I'm sharp and I can do what I need to do. It actually, when I talk about going to the basement, it was a boxing analogy from back in the day. You know, what does a fighter do prior to a big fight? What does a fighter do prior to a fight to get right? You hit the basement. And what do you do down there? Essentially nothing but deny yourself. Sacrifice. And like when you're in the basement, you have none of the normal creatures of comfort. No unhealthy grub, no liquor, no sex.
Sex with me.
Actually, I'm not really sure why I've always used the analogy, because essentially I do all those things on vacation. And I'm good at all of them. So why would I use that as an analogy? I don't know. I just started using it and it stuck. Anyway, I'd be hard-pressed to sell this past trip as a basement run because I was on social posting pics like a fool and video from Eagle River, Wisconsin. Yes, I said Eagle River, Wisconsin. You're probably wondering what the hell I was doing in Eagle River, Wisconsin, and what Eagle River, Wisconsin is like. Short version to a long story. We've got some very close friends that have a home in Eagle River. The iconic Coleman family.
Ionic.
We met the Coleman family years ago when we had a house in Montana. And for years, they've been trying to get us to go to their lake home in Eagle River. But we generally vacationed in the summer in Montana, so I never took them up on that offer. And my guy, Matt Coleman, every year was like, dude, you got to come. You got to come. This is my favorite spot. So when we sold that house, we actually picked up a lake house of our own, but not in Eagle River, but in all places, of all places, Palm Desert, Cali, like in Palm Springs. We found a lake in Palm Springs and a house on that lake. As you might imagine, it was a small lake. It was a man-made lake. And this man-made lake, yeah, I mean, you've seen the pictures. I used to post pictures from there too. It had a little slalom course on it. But having never experienced lake life before myself, that 40-acre lake, 40 acres is not that big for a lake. It only allowed for like three boats at a time on the lake, that small. But I didn't know any different because I didn't know lake life. Man, that felt like Lake Como to me. So that said, finally, one time we take them up on their offer to go to Eagle River. And again, Eagle River is the city, but it's on a lake. It's actually on a chain of lakes. So I go back there for the first time a few years back, and what I saw blew my mind. So they're on Cranberry Lake, which again is part of an amazing chain of lakes, and me suddenly running around that little fake lake back here in Cali felt like a rat running around hustling for cheese. Didn't feel so great. Like, I thought I was the man. I'm like, hey, yo, I got a little boat. I got a little lake. And I feel like a dope, man, because I saw a real lake in a real place. And then I did the math and figured out how much farther my buck would go in Wisco compared to Cali. So I tried to do business. A couple of years back, we sell our place in the desert. We buy a place in Wisco. And understand that in this neighborhood, there are these amazing old houses. It didn't seem like a house that I'd really have a lot of fun in, let me put it that way. And by have a lot of fun in, it's not even that, it was just old, man. it needed to be updated. And by updated, I mean knocked to the ground. So we did that. And we built a house, and it took a couple of years. And the thing is, I'd only been to that town twice before I went to all this. So while we were in contact with the builder, a Wisconsin builder, pretty much every single day for the past year and a half, I had not actually been to Eagle River in a year. So I show up 2 weeks ago. And while we're talking about a really big lake, we're talking about a really small town. Driving in from the airport, and I didn't even know this. I drive in, I look at a sign that says Eagle River, population 1498. Not like 14,980 or even 149,000, like 1,500 people. There are under 1,500 people in this town. I didn't even know that. I just knew this. I knew that I had to prepare for that trip. And to prepare for that trip, I mean cut weight. Like, I felt like some MMAers, paranoid about a weigh-in. I started working out twice a day. I started cutting out grub. I started going into the sauna. I started to have ice and ibuprofen for dinner. I was sucking on ice cubes for dinner. I cut up a hefty bag. I was running the hill. I did all that because while I didn't know that town that well, I knew exactly what was waiting for me in that town. Cheese. Lots of freaking cheese and very few vegetables and no workout equipment. And I was right.
That's right.
I knew right away that if I didn't check myself, I would have to check myself into some fat clinic upon my return. Man, you'd all see it on camera when I got back. So while I was there, I tried to pull a page, believe it or not, from Hawk's book. Hawk tells me that in trying to get ready for his marathon and cut weight, he went to an intermittent fast. Hawk, Adam Hawk, EP, does not eat for the first time until after the show. He waits till noon every single day to eat. And I thought, damn, Hawk, like, I push myself sometimes, but I don't know if I can do that. I knew when I got to Eagle River, Wisconsin, I had no choice. So I started just eat twice a day. And I started waiting until either 11 or 12 for that first meal. I tried not to swallow. I tried not to inhale. I tried not to snort any cheese until 12 noon every day. And it worked. Sort of. I mean, if you're watching on TV, you judge for yourself. But I know this. Like, I saw my before and after pics. I saw the pic of me getting off the airplane when I arrived. And I saw the pic of me returning on the same airplane. It felt like a commercial for one of those six-month weight loss programs, the before and after. Except it was 2 weeks. Let's just say I woke up in Cali yesterday, 4:30 in the morning. Jumped on my Peloton for the first time in 2 weeks, got off of the Peloton, and immediately worked in a hike. And then I slammed a big bowl of green for dinner to try to shock my system back. Like, vegetables were used to shock my system back because I didn't see any last week or the week before. Speaking of green, in terms of what did I do? Judging from the pics, you know exactly what I did. I sat on my dock, green. You want to know what green I had last week? You want to know what green I ate last week? Heineken. Not broccoli, not Brussels sprouts, not salad, not green beans, not peas. The green that I ate last week was Heineken. Not weed, Hawk. Did not get into the weed. I got into the green, but not the weed. So I sat on my dock, and I waited for people to yell at me from their boats that our lights are too bright and that we need window coverings. That's a real thing. That happened. True story. It only happened twice, but I guess I was breaching etiquette or protocol. My lights were too bright, and I think the other thing was like, he's like, dude, I don't think that they, I think they want to see in. Man, you're missing a good show inside, yo. What did I just tell you? I eat a lot, I drink a lot, and I sex a lot on vacation.
Yo.
Why do you want window coverings? I'm just clowning. Anyway, all in all, the Wisconsin run was genius. Lake life was a blast. But as always, it is awesome to be home, and I'm pumped to be here. And other things happened. Man, there are other stories. I told you about the DQ run. I mean, I don't even know what that was. Like, I don't want to make another drug analogy because I'm not a drug guy. But that blizzard that I had from Dairy Queen was so sensational. So exceptional, and unlike any other bowl of ice cream I've ever had in my life. I would imagine that'd be like if you were a Coke person and you went to Columbia and you got the pure cut best straight from the source. I feel like that's it. Like I feel like somebody in Wisconsin milked a cow and that blizzard came out. I mean, it was that good. It was incredible. I just don't know why. Hey, Wisco, react to me. Is your ice cream really that good? Or was it me? Or was it? I don't even know. I don't know what it was. And I don't want any of you dopes calling this show and saying, hey, Rome, you know what we really want to hear? Great take, Rome. But we want to know how Wisconsin woman measures up to Portland woman. I'm not going there. I am a landowner. I am a resident of Wisconsin. And for the most part, we were treated extremely well, very respectfully. And that's, I had a great time, great experience. Man, people are so nice. People are so nice. There you go. When we come back, ask me anything about my trip or do something else with it. You know where to find me. First up, though, Dustin Poirier. Former UFC lightweight champ is my guest. That is next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Did I say that it was good to be back? Because it is. Third hour's coming up.